Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNradio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
Type it in now, man. Good gracious. Well, thank you for tuning in to QLJNRadio.com. This is the Final Authority. You have tuned in to the Final Authority. We air live every Monday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Every Monday, unless otherwise indicated. I apologize for shortly less than a minute late because we had a little glitch there. But we'll get right into the show. We'll continue on our a two-part series. We'll be concluding today on the subject matter in question form: are you right with God? Are you right with God? Now, I'll give you the phone number to call in case you have a question or you want to make a comment or express a different view, which we're open to hear you out and let you express yourself through question form or comment form or what have you. But as we normally do, we start out with a word of prayer. After prayer, I'll give you the number to call in, and after which we'll proceed with our conclusion on our subject matter tonight: are you right with God? Father, we come before you in the holy, majestic name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ. We acknowledge you as the almighty, living, true God, most high God, our majesty on high, to whom we bow, give glory, we honor, and we worship you, Father, because you are worthy. We thank you, Father, for the goodness that you bestowed upon us through the person of thy Son, Jesus the Christ. Thank you for loving us, Father, with an everlasting love. We thank you for sacrificing your one and only Son for us, your unique Son, Jesus the Christ. He satisfied the demands of divine justice for us, having died for our sins, shed his blood, was buried, and rose again for our justification. He is truly, indeed, alive forevermore. We look to Christ as the ascended, exalted Lord who is seated at your right hand. Father, we confess your Son Jesus as our Lord, Savior, and Redeemer, for he has redeemed us to you by his blood. We thank you, Father God, that you have accepted us in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father, that we are saved by your grace through faith in Christ alone. Father, we give you glory. We thank you for the word. We ask, O God, you would open our understanding and our eyes are enlightened to the truth of Scripture. We thank you. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. So, in our subject matter, Are You Right With God? Again, just to do a review, you can ask that question to several people across the globe. And people may give different answers. And they may answer differently. Are you right with God? Somebody may say, well, I was born, you know, in a Christian family. Or somebody might say, well, I go to church. And somebody else might say, well, I was baptized. Or I do good works when I try to keep the Ten Commandments. Or I'm a good person, you know. But the question is, are you right with God? Now, what you don't want to assume or just go guessing, are you right? I believe you should know whether or not you are right with God. And so we're going to go over some passages of Scripture, and we'll see very clearly that God has clearly established the terms by which one is right with himself. You can be right with God only on God's terms, not because you joined a local church, a temple, or a mosque, not because you have done some good works. I do good works. I do a lot of good works. I help people. I encourage people. I hear them out. I help them navigate through a lot of situations and circumstances in their lives. I do family intervention, teen intervention. I give, I serve, and so on. But none of those things would make me right, even though those things are good that I do, and it may be right that I do those things. But that is not why I'm right with God. I'm a pastor, and I've been pastoring for a number of years. But that's not why I'm right with God. All right, there's a lot of pastors out there, a lot of spiritual, if you will, leaders, or you want to call them spiritual leaders, or religious leaders. But does that make you right with God because you are a leader in a particular church or a religion or a mosque or a temple or a synagogue? Absolutely not. God has clearly established the terms by which one is right with him. So if God made it very clear, then I should not be having an issue at whether I'm right with God or not. I should know it. And so once we lay the scriptures out and we see very clearly in the word, then you're going to have to make a decision whether you know if you're right with God or not. And if you're not right with God, then you need to get right with God. And we're going to show you what God has revealed in the writings of the prophets and apostles that he have established of being right with himself. Now, one thing we share with you is that man have sinned against God. The book of Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man has never measured up to the standard of God. God's law is perfect. God's law is holy, and it's just. The problem is we as men has never measured up perfectly to the law of God. We have fallen short. We have sinned. We have become offenders. We have violated the law of God. We are guilty. And the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 19 says that we're all guilty before God. All right? It specifically says, I quote, now whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be shut and all the world become guilty before God. So before our holy God, in God's presence, in his court of law, God who knows all things, God who sees all things, God who is everywhere at one and the same time, God who is all wise, who is the judge of all the earth, and he will always do right. There's no injustice with God. Everything he does is right and is holy. It's totally, completely fair, every judgment God makes. Whether we understand it or whether we see eye to eye with God or not, God is always right. So now, standing for a holy God and knowing that you have sinned, the law of God says the penalty of death is sin. Excuse me, the penalty of sin is death. The penalty of death, that's Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. So, because we sin, sin results in death. Death is separation from. So, man is separated and alienated from God. Why? Man has sin. He is spiritually dead. And sin brought in not only the spiritual death, alienation, and separation from God, but it's also brought physical death. All right? Then it brought in what we call eternal death, that is eternal separation from God. So we're going to look at the scriptures as the final authority. I am not the final authority. Your church, your mosque, your temple, your rabbi, your imam, your minister, your pope, your bishop, your evangelist, your priest, your whoever is not the final authority. My mama's not the final authority. My grandmother, my granddad, no, none of them are. The word of God is the final authority. So what we do is we go to the scriptures as the ultimate and final authority for the answer of what one, how does one go about being right with God? And we'll talk about that. Now, so all is sin and all is guilty before God. What can you say to a holy God? If you live in God's court of law right now, and you know you're guilty of having rejected God's offer of salvation through faith in his beloved son, Jesus, and all that Christ has done for you by way of the cross of Calvary. All right? What would you say? Now, I'm going to read a particular verse in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? The unrighteous. Wow. The unrighteous. Now, the Bible talks about the righteous and the unrighteous. Okay, the righteous and the unrighteous. So one of two things, you are either righteous or unrighteous, one or the other. There's no in-between. From a biblical perspective, based upon the authority of the Holy Scriptures, you are either right with God or you're not right with God. All right? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 again, it says, know ye not, do you not understand that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, he said, see, no matter who you are, the unrighteous. Now, righteousness is defined as right standing with God. This is what we're looking at. We're looking at a right standing relationship with God. All right? How can you have a right standing relationship with God? That means you are just, a just person, just before God. Let me give you an example of something. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, it says the just shall live by faith. That word just are those who have been justified, all right? Just, which means you have a right standing before God. Now, in verse 16, he talks about the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is, present tense, ongoing, the power of God resulting in salvation. Salvation is deliverance from the guilt of sin, the power of sin, the penalty of sin. It's a inclusive word, which means it includes forgiveness of sin. It includes the fact that you are washed from all your sins by the precious blood of Christ. It includes the of redemption, that you're redeemed by the blood of Christ to the Father. It includes reconciliation, that you've been reconciled to God, a regenerating work of the Holy Spirit called the new birth. It includes you're sealed with the Spirit. It includes you have everlasting life. This is what it means to be right with God. You have a right standing relationship with God, and you are considered the just. The just shall live by faith. So we hear the message of the gospel that Christ, in our place. He died for our sins, all right? All his blood was shed. All his blood was shed for you. He was buried. The third day, he literally rose again from among the dead for your justification. He is alive forevermore. He has physically and bodily ascended up into heaven in a glorified body and now seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenlies. And when you came to faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you then experienced what is called salvation. All your sin and guilt was placed on Christ. The greatest exchange that took place was he took your sin and gave you his righteousness. Jesus Christ, the uniquely begotten of the Father, Jesus Christ is perfectly righteous. He is holy and he's without blame before the Father. He always pleased the Father. He was perfectly obedient to his Father. Now, so he took your sin and he gives you his righteousness. So he bore your sins in his body. He was judged for your sins. He satisfied the demands of God's divine justice for you in your place. Died for you, shed his blood, was buried, and rose again. Now when you come to faith and you trust exclusively in Jesus Christ, that is resting all of your faith, the wholeness of all your faith up on Christ and all that he's done for you on the rugged cross. It is Christ, the unique Son of God, that washes you from all of your sins. He robes you in his perfect righteousness. It is a righteousness that is a gift from Christ to you. You can't improve on this righteousness. This is a gift from God through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. So you have that righteousness, and now you're joined by the Spirit unto Christ. This is a spiritual manifestation or a reality based upon the authority of the Word. That when you come to faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are not only just forgiven of your sins, but you're washed from your sins, you're robed in the righteousness of Christ, you're redeemed to God, and now you stand before God in God's court of law in the perfect righteousness of his Son. You have what is called right standing with God. All right? It's very clear in Scripture. I don't have that right standing because I'm the pastor or preacher, I do good works. I have it because what Jesus Christ done for me on the cross through his death and shed blood, burial, and resurrection, I believe it and I rest all my faith on him. It's not predicated upon all my good works or your good works or anybody's good works or anybody's good deeds. You might be a very good moral person. You may have done some good things and good works in your life, and that can be good. But your good works and deeds doesn't give you a standing with God. It is what Christ has done. Now, Paul says in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 21, he says, I do not frustrate the righteousness of God, the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain. Now, I do not frustrate the what? Grace of God. Grace is God bestowing something upon you, and you didn't even work for it. You didn't earn it. You didn't clock in to put no hours in for this. It is solely contingent upon what Jesus Christ has satisfied before God for you in your place. Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness, right standing with God, all right, come by the law, and it doesn't, then Christ died in vain. So if it come by law, by what I can do based on the observation of anything within the Mosaic law, within any law, it can be circumcision, observation of the Mosaic law. It can be any type of work or deed. It can be joining the church. It can be water baptism, and that's good in this place. But what is it that gives me a right standing with God? A faith, a genuine faith that is rested upon the substitutionary, redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's the only thing. There's absolutely no other way. Just because you've been going to church for a long time or to a mosque or a temple for a long time or to a synagogue for a long time and giving and serving, that does not, or you went to a priest and confessed your sins at a Roman Catholic church in a booth, that does not give you a standing with God. God is looking for faith. See, it's without faith it's impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible. And your faith must be in the sacrificial, substitutionary, redemptive death and the shed blood of Christ, the burial and the resurrection of Christ. That's the whole point that Paul's making, even in the book, or the writer of Hebrews is making in the book of Hebrews. You got to have faith rested upon Christ. Because the unrighteous, if you don't have righteousness with God, I don't care how nice you are, how pleasant you are, and there's a lot of nice people that I do happen to know that have not come to faith and trust in Christ. And they do a lot of good works and a lot of good deeds, but they are unright before God on God's terms. So you have to come to God's terms. You don't make your own terms up. And that was one of the problems with Israel. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All right, we'll get back to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 if we have time to. I want to try to conclude today, but I want to show you something in Romans chapter 9, verse 30. Paul writing to the believers in Rome, and he says, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith." Wow. Now, let me do this real quick. I'm going to get back to this verse in just a moment, but let me say this. The number to call in if you have a question, or you have a comment or something that you want to say, please call area code 515-605-9768. If you have a question or you want to make a comment, please call area code 515-605-9768. After you're dialed in and you're connected, press the number 1, and my producer will connect you to my line, and I will welcome you to the final authority for your question or comment. Well, right now we have a caller. I want to acknowledge a caller that just called in. Thank you for calling. Welcome to the final authority, Mr. Raymond.
Hello. Good evening, Pastor. Thank you for taking my call. Solid teaching, and thank you for sharing the clear and unadulterated word. I do have a question.
Okay.
And the question is, talking to several people throughout the years, I've come across some that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
Okay.
Then years go by, and although they have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're frustrated with the church as an organization, and they say, "Oh, I don't, I pray every now and then, but I do not attend church. And, you know, I may read the Bible every now and then." So my question is, because the subject has come up, does that affect their, I would imagine it affect their relationship, but does it affect their standing as far as their security in Christ? If they have abandoned going to church and don't pray, but only confess, and I know that we have no way of knowing their true confession for their heart, but if a person says they believe, then you just kind of accept it for what the conversation is. They say they believe, but they don't exercise any type of Christian, how you say, protocol, if you will.
Okay. That's a very good question. Thank you. I think if I understand your question properly, those who have come to a confession of faith in Jesus Christ, and they say they believe the message of Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and they then at some point in time begin to, for whatever reason, whatever happened within the local church body, they then begin to go backwards and go back into some practices that were considered against the Christian teachings or the biblical teachings of the life of a believer. What happens to their, does anything happen to their salvation? Do they lose their standing? Okay, that's a very good question, and that question does demand a little detail there, so I'll try to hit it as best as I can with what time I do have. That's a very good question. First of all, I want to mention that the Bible does say very clearly that you are saved by God's grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works. Therefore, you can't boast, all right? And so we do know that when an individual person, if they hear the true gospel of Christ, and they come to a true, genuine faith in the true gospel, they experience what is called salvation. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto or resulting in salvation. Salvation is deliverance. It's delivered from the guilt of sin, the power of sin, and the penalty of sin. That person is washed from their sins. They are redeemed to the Father God by the blood of Christ. They are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, they're given everlasting life. They are identified with the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ. And that question kind of leads me to get ahead of myself, because I was going to try to cover some things also in the book of Ephesians, dealing with the fact that we're raised up together with Christ and we sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have a right standing union with God through the person of Christ. Now, that person had that standing. That's called justification. Now you have justification and you have what is called sanctification. Justification is a one-time judicial act of God, whereby upon the sinner who hears the gospel, places faith in the death, shed, blood, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, trusting Christ with his heart for his salvation, that person is forgiven of all their sins, washed in the blood of Christ, redeemed by the blood of Christ, sealed with the Holy Spirit, given everlasting life, clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ. That, and God declares them righteous. That is justification. They are justified. Now we do what is called sanctification. Sanctification is that you are set apart, but then now it is the process of your spiritual growth and development. Now we deal with the individual. If the individual has come to true, genuine faith in Christ, they have a right standing with God. Now they may do some things that's not right where the lifestyle of the child of God is concerned, but that does not negate their salvation. Now, what we're dealing with now is an individual who comes short. Because you come to faith in Christ and you experience biblical salvation and you have right standing with God, it doesn't mean that you will never, ever sin. So now, with that said, the Bible does tell us in the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 and verse 9. Let me go to chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2 also. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light," that is the light of Jesus Christ, "as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." Our fellowship with God. "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." See, so we're constantly being cleansed from sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. By you continue walking in the light, you're being constantly cleansed from sin on a daily basis. But now, what happens when you, as a believer who is right with God, commit an act of sin? Your faith may still be intact concerning the redemptive work of Christ, but you committed an act of sin. Well, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us that if we confess our sins, the word confess comes from a word, homologia, and it means to agree with. I agree with God that my sins was placed upon Christ on the cross of Calvary. I agree that my sins were blotted out by what Christ done for me on the cross. So I confess my sin in view of the light of what Christ done for me on the cross. So if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, with that said, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. John says, "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not." He's writing to the body of believers. "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father." We have an advocate. So Jesus Christ is our advocate. He's right now in a resurrected, glorified body in the heavens, in the presence of the Father for us right now as our advocate. If, he said, my desire is that you do not sin. But if a man sin, we do have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, the word propitiation means satisfaction. So Christ is the satisfaction for our sins. Now, we don't condone sin, we don't encourage sin, we don't support sin. But there's times then, because of human weaknesses of the flesh, sometimes we all sin. And we have to go to our advocate and confess our sins. He is the propitiation or the satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So not only for the believer's sin, Christ also satisfied the sin for the world. And anyone in the world who comes to faith and trust in Christ can be forgiven, accept forgiveness. But for the believer, no, I believe that a believer in Christ, if you are a genuine believer and you sin, God gives you space to confess that and get that right. And as a believer who has become his child by faith in Christ, you now are a child of God, and you don't get certain things right in your life, then God will chasten you. He will not condemn you, because there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So if you are in Christ, you are clothed in his righteousness, you are sealed with the Spirit, but you might need to get a whooping, all right? So it doesn't mean God's going to condemn you and get rid of you. If your faith is rested upon Christ, but you mess up, you sin, you miss the mark, you come short, then God wants you to confess that and get that right. Well, I'll continue on. We have to take a break. I'll continue a little bit more after the break. Stay tuned in. Thank you for calling Mr. Ray, Brother Ray. Thank you for that. But I will come back after the break.
Now, y'all know the devil be tripping, right? So I had to write a song to put him back in his place. Check it out. Anybody feel like me out there? Listen. Sometimes you gotta tell them just like that. Check it out.
You tried to steal my joy. You tried to steal my peace. I'm tired of crying. Always feeling weak. I take two steps forward. You push me four steps back. I'm so sick of you lying about this and that. From this day forward, some things are gonna change.
I'm taking it back.
You can't have it.
I'm taking it back.
You can't have it.
I'm life like with fast unlimited data? Check it out. With Metro PCS, you step into the latest trend. You like this? Do it.
I'm in a sweet spot. I'm in the clouds.
Share it. Watch it spread. You've been following. Now be followed. Get Metro PCS and enjoy a network that covers 99% of people in the U.S., just like AT&T and Verizon, for less. Switch now and get four lines of unlimited data for $100, period. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
Thank you for being tuned in to the final authority. That song was by Troy Sneed called Taking It Back. All right, well, let me get back into it. I don't know if Ray is still on the phone. Before the break, Ray had asked a question relative to a believer who expresses a belief in Christ and somehow begin to leave the church and maybe go back into some old ways. Does he still have a standing with God? Well, first of all, my salvation is solely based upon what Christ has done on the cross. And if a person comes to a true, genuine, authentic faith in Christ, he experiences what is called salvation. He's delivered from the guilt, the power, and the penalty of sin. Christ imputes to that man or that woman his righteousness. They are clothed in his righteousness, redeemed by his blood, and sealed with the Spirit. They are identified with Christ. They have everlasting life. So everlasting life and righteousness is a gift from God to the person that believes on Christ. It's out of a heart of faith that they receive this. Okay? Now, we deal with now what is called sanctification. Justification is a one-time judicial act, sovereign judicial act of God, whereby he declares you right with himself by virtue of your faith in Christ and by the fact that you have been clothed in the righteousness of the Son, Jesus Christ, joined by the Spirit to Christ. So you are justified. You are considered a just person. You are just before God in his court of law. Now, sanctification has to do with now your lifestyle, the process of your spiritual growth and development. There are some who are in Christ that sin less than others. Babies, they do wrong stuff more so than people who mature and have a better understanding and do better. But those who are in Christ, we all sin at times. Now, it's not God's will that we do sin, but there are times because of human weakness or what have you, we end up sinning. Well, we have the grace of God there. Our faith is intact or should be intact. As long as your faith is truly genuine faith that is resting upon the person of Christ, you have a standing with God. So what happens with as a believer, one who is a true biblical child of God, when you sin, God wants you to confess that and get that right. You don't get it right and you continue in it, well, what happens is that's when God's chastening comes in. God will discipline you. He's not going to kick you out of your position of right standing, no. But he will whip you and discipline you for your good. So God does not condemn us because there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, with that said, let me show you something here. Let me read over in Romans chapter 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Now, here's Paul saying, even these Gentiles that were pagans had all kinds of pagan gods and deities they worship, living immoral lives, and said they was not even following after righteousness, but they attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Well, if they was not following the righteousness, but attained it, how did they attain something they didn't even follow after? And Paul calls it the righteousness which is by faith. Well, how did they get that faith for that righteousness? where Paul went among the people of Rome and proclaimed the message of the gospel. And they heard the message of the gospel, and these Gentiles, which were steeped in idolatry and immoral lives, had came to a true, genuine faith in the gospel message. And when they heard that message, they believed it with their heart. That's how they attained to this righteousness, which is by faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So they attained to something, and it was all by faith. They didn't attain to it based upon their works. But let's read the next verse. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, they had the Mosaic law. They followed after righteousness. However, it says they did not attain to the law of righteousness. Why? Verse 32 says, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. So here is Israel, had the law of righteousness. They never attained to the law of righteousness. And they had all these laws, rules, and regulations, and yet they never measured up to it. They didn't do it. But watch what it says. They never attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. They were trying to accomplish this righteousness by the observation of the law, by all their works and deeds that they were performing as prescribed by the law, but they never measured up. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him, who? The stumbling stone, shall not be ashamed. The Jews, who are Israel, they just could not come to grips in their mind that you're telling me that all my works that I do in observation of the law, I was circumcised, I observed the law of Moses. All right, I go to the synagogues, I hear the reading of the scriptures, I go to the temple for prayer and animal sacrifice. You mean tell me I'm not right with God? Well, here it says they didn't attain to the law of righteousness because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. What is that? They stumbled over the fact that you telling me that someone who would actually die for my sins would be satisfied that I get a righteousness that way? See, this is what you don't understand, is that you still sin. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile in the eyes of God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone sinned. Jew and Gentile alike were all sold under sin. So because you're sinners by nature, your works don't make you right with God. Just because you might do some right things, but that doesn't make you right with God. So here's Jesus Christ. He comes and takes the rap for you. He willingly lays his life down for you on a rugged cross. All of your sins was placed upon Christ. He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for all your lawless acts, and all your acts of rebellion against God's standard, against God's perfect law. And he satisfied the judgment of God and died for your sins. All his blood was poured out from his body for you to redeem you. The sacrificial, substitutionary, redemptive death and the shed blood of Christ. He was buried the third day. He literally, physically, bodily rose again from among the dead for your justification. So God the Father accepted the sacrificial shed blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, for you on your behalf as the sacrifice that paid your sin debt in full. And when you come to faith and trust in Christ, you experience what is called salvation, redemption, and justification. You don't get it by your works. So the Jews, they just couldn't fathom in their mind. You may tell me I got to rest my faith on it. No, it's based upon what I could do. So they went about doing their own thing. So Paul says in chapter 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Wow. See, so here Israel was trying to establish their own righteousness. They rejected, they stumbled over what Christ done. They could not come to grips that the Messiah had satisfied the judgment of God for them. No, they want to try to accomplish it by themselves. They sinned. They were sold into sin. They were sinful. They didn't do so good that God accepted their works as them being righteous because they rejected the offer of God through faith in Christ the Messiah. Christ was the stumble. They stumbled over that. But the Gentiles, they heard the message of Christ's death, shed blood, burial, and resurrection, and they rested their faith upon Christ, the biblical Messiah, having accepted the sacrificial, substitutionary, redemptive death and shed blood of Christ in his burial and his resurrection, and they experienced right standing with God. See, you might be one of the ones trying to establish your own righteousness based upon your morality, your moral standard. That don't get it. Even you can even try to observe all of God's laws, you still will never measure up. No one has ever measured up and honored God perfectly but Jesus Christ. So, with that said, let me go back to read Romans chapter 5 real quick. So, I would say that God does not get rid of his children, but he will discipline you for your sanctification. Now, in Romans chapter 5, verse 19, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So when it says by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, the one man that was disobedient in the very beginning was Adam. Adam's disobedience was credited to us because we were in Adam. So when Adam disobeyed God, sin entered the world and sin passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So his disobedience was imputed to us, and we were made sinners because of what Adam did. So then the rest of the scripture says, so, watch this, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So Jesus Christ, it was his perfect obedience. He was perfectly obedient unto the Father. So then by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So Adam, in a perfect environment, sinned. Christ, in an imperfect environment, a corrupt world, he did not sin. He perfectly obeyed the Father. So just like Adam's sin was imputed and credited to us, we were called as children of disobedience, thus we were made sinners. So what Christ did for us, now his obedience is imputed to me. I'm made righteous because of what Christ did. It's not because of what I have done. Now, I've heard the gospel. I came under the conviction by the Holy Spirit through the gospel that I needed Jesus Christ as Lord, Savior, and Redeemer, and I've come to faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Thus, I have right standing with God solely contingent upon a faith that solely rested upon Christ, and that's it, nothing else. So his righteousness is credited or imputed to me. I now have the righteousness of Christ before Almighty God. I have that. Okay, now, we all have that in Christ. Now, as a believer, God wants you to grow up into spiritual maturity. When you begin to grow into spiritual maturity, you begin to sin less, all right? So, you sin less, all right? The closer you get to God, the more you mature, the more your mind is renewed to the Word of God, you sin less. It don't mean you are a sinless person that you never sin. No, you have this flesh, because in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. But as you walk in the light of Christ, you are continuously being cleansed from sin. That's 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Okay? So we have that. And so going back to the text of Scripture again, we know that right standing with God, which is righteousness, it's only through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to look at Romans chapter 6 real quickly. Only got so many minutes left. But Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Paul says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, so when he says likewise, that's a conjunction, which means he just said something previously. We said likewise he was doing a comparative analogy of a death, a burial, and a resurrection. So he talked about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and he dealt with your identification with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, that at one point in time you were alienated from God, you were spiritually dead, if you were. You were not alive unto God in a relationship with him. Thus, you were not right with God. So, because of what Christ done and your faith in Christ, the sin, the monarch of sin no longer rules over you. Your relationship with sin is now severed, and now you are identified with Christ. So it says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto what? Sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, I'm alive unto God through my faith in Jesus Christ my Lord. I'm not alive unto God because I went to church or I got a position in the church or I've been doing good works. That's good. But, man, I'm alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord. That's the only reason why I'm alive to God in a right standing with God. See, prior to my faith in Christ, prior to our being identified with the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, I was dead in my sins and my trespasses. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. All right? That you, he says, you have he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. So why? It's all through Christ. It's all because of my identification with Christ. And that's all by faith. It's not based upon my feelings. All right, it's not based upon whether I go to a church building or a mosque, a temple, or a synagogue, or anywhere I do. The main thing is to get to the main thing, and that is a true, genuine faith based upon my authority and testimony of the Holy Scriptures that Jesus Christ is the divine, unique Son of the living God, and that he literally died for all my sins. He did that for me. He shed his blood for me. He was buried for me. He rose again for me, for my justification. He is alive forevermore, and I'm now identified with Christ, and I now am seated in a right standing position with God because I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. I got right standing with God. It's solely because of what Jesus done. It's not because of anything I do. It's not your works. It's not your deeds. Good, you go to church. Good, you got baptized. Good, you do what good works. But listen, you got to make sure you got a true, genuine faith in the sacrificial, substitutionary, redemptive death and shed blood of Jesus Christ. When we say sacrificial, we're talking about the fact that his death sacrificed his life for us. He knew everything that he was going to go through, and yet he willingly laid his life down for you so that you can have his righteousness. He went there so that he could suffer in your place and take your penalty that you deserve. So that you now can have a right standing with God through a true genuine faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, as verse 12 of Romans chapter 6. So verse 11 says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? Now, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God, has made him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, so as a result of your being in Christ, not being religious, but, okay, not because you went to a mosque and took the real scriptures and memorized scriptures and quote scriptures and read the Bible, all those things can be good. I'm not downplaying none of that, but I want to put the emphasis where the Bible puts the emphasis at, and that is a true, genuine faith in the historicity of the person of Jesus Christ, his death for your sins, his burial, his death for your sins, his shedding of his blood, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. He's alive forevermore right now. Your faith must be exclusively in him and in him alone. It's not in him plus anything I do. Now, after I come to faith in Christ, I need to renew my mind with the Word of God and go to classes so I can learn the Word of God, feed the Word of God, and live by the Word of God and grow spiritually. Okay? But your right standing with God is very important. So, are you right with God? You will know that. if God set the terms, I don't set the terms. I just present the biblical perspective, and I happen to hold to the biblical perspective without compromise. So my faith is rested upon the authority and revelation of the Word of God. The Word of God is complete. There's no other revelation. There's no new revelations at all, period. They have this group out called NAR, N-A-R, the New Apostolic Reformation, with these new apostolic prophets, so-called whatever, and they come up with this new stuff. There's nothing new. The Word of God is complete. You must come to a true, genuine faith in the true gospel of Christ in order that you may experience true biblical salvation that's centered on glorifying Christ. Okay? So as a result of your being in Christ, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's a blessing, that you're called the righteousness of God in Christ, not apart from Christ, in Christ. See, so when you came to faith in Christ, it was the Holy Spirit that then spiritually joined you to Christ. You are in a vital union with Christ, and because you are united to Christ in spirit, you have his perfect righteousness. You are now made the righteousness of God in Christ. So you have right standing. You have a perfect right standing with God. Did you not know that you have the same perfect right standing with God as Jesus Christ? Because you are joined to Christ. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. That's amazing. Wow. Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my Redeemer. I confess him as Lord of all. I bow to him. I honor him. But I'm joined perfectly to him by the Spirit and have a perfect righteousness with God. Man, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. So I want you to understand that you must rest your faith solely upon the authority and the revelation of the Holy Scriptures. And that's it. Nothing else. My faith is open. So it's very important to know the Word. See, you hear messages, but do you know the Word for yourself? Do you search the Scriptures for yourself? All right, now, I want to look at Romans chapter 5 real quickly, verse 8 through 11. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Die for what? Sinners. Why? Because sinners are going to be judged and come under the judgment of God because what? The wages of sin is death. We're guilty. We're offenders. We've got to come and be judged, but Christ died for our sins. Much more than being now justified by his blood. That is his sacrificial death and shed blood. I'm justified. Wait a minute. I'm justified? Yes. In God's court of law, he's using the word justified as a term that's used in the court of law. You are now cleared of all charges, and you're declared righteous in God's law, in his court of law. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received reconciliation. What a blessing. Man, time is out. Well, are you right with God? Only through faith in Christ Jesus. Stick to the Word of God. We'll tune in next week to the Final Authority every Monday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. God bless you, and remember, God's word is God's final authority to and for you.
You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.